I want to share with you a passage of scripture from Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. And if you can't figure it out by now, we're talking about the armor of God. And I want to spend some time in knowing what we have as it is the armor of God. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Paul begins this passage with the word finally. The word finally may not mean a whole lot when a preacher says it, but Paul uses this word to conclude his letter to the Ephesians as an emphasis of what is most important. What is most important? Finally, he's saying, finally, remember who you are in Christ Jesus. Remember that you are redeemed, that you are God's adopted children, members of the household of God. You are his saints. And at the same time, you can claim what is yours because you belong to him. To sum it all up, be strong in the Lord, as he is your strength and he is your might. Using this metaphorical visual, and you got to remember that Paul is under house arrest, and he's in the company of a guard that stays with him probably night and day. And so as he's penning this letter, who knows, he looks at this soldier and may see for himself the attire of one that would remind him of what he has as he trusts in the Lord. He is saying to the readers of this letter, to the churches around Ephesus as well as Ephesus itself, put on the whole armor of God. If you haven't noticed, it's mentioned twice in this passage, which would suggest that's pretty important. This is a mandate of great importance. Put on the armor of God, and there's a reason for that. And again, you get the sense of that as you just read this passage of Scripture again, and you begin to identify right away of the conditions of the time. Dark days, heavy days, threatening days, uncertain days. And this is where Paul finds himself as he maybe is looking at this soldier and recognizing what he has as he would have put his trust in the Lord. So put on the whole armor of God. Why? Why? And I mean that, but we might be asking ourselves, why? How? Just think for a minute. How well dressed and equipped are we when we go out to experience the day of the week, a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday? How much time have we taken to prepare ourselves for what we might encounter that day? Why? Paul says it, so that we may be able to stand against the enemy. Stand against the devil. Now, I'm hesitant to give the devil any airtime this morning. I don't want to give him a square inch or 1 minute, but I want to share a quote with you from Corrie Ten Boom. The first step on the way to victory is to recognize the enemy. Know who the enemy is. It is Satan, the devil, the prince of darkness, who is scheming and lying. He is murderous. He is our adversary. Actually, the word devil is a derivative from a word, a Hebrew word, that means adversary. Our enemy. Peter, in his first letter, chapter 5, verse 8, gives us again another glimpse of this enemy. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. I want you to just, let's land there for a minute and try to visualize what that means. A roaring lion, ready to devour you. The enemy stalks you. He looks for the opportunity to ambush you. The desire is to dismember you, leaving you defenseless, and to kill you. Our passage says, stand against the schemes of the devil. He is cunning, he is sly, using our own pleasures and delights to distract us, to lure us, and eventually to consume us. Seldom is there ever a frontal attack. He is subtle and often presents an attractive proposition that opens the way of his gradual possession of our minds, our hearts, and possibly even our souls. He is after us. He is relentless. We must remember, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. This is a realm that we don't spend a lot of time thinking about. This whole thing of spiritual warfare, I think in some ways has been this kind of dismissed as anything really important by the Western Church today. It's real. And particularly if you've ever been exposed to some of the encounters. Jeff, I know that you have yourself, when you visit some of our third world countries, and particularly to be in the midst of pagan religions. I can remember going into Thailand one time, and Ernie Shack wanted to show us something. And just within, I don't know how many, it couldn't have been a half a mile from the compound, the center of the testimony of Christ. He took us into the woods. And in the woods were five or six grotesque figures. They were so grotesque and so repulsive, I can't even describe them. And I'm telling you that the hair on the back of my neck was electrified by the heaviness and the darkness of a sense of satanic power. It's there, folks. It's in the world. And it's not that far removed from us. The situation is we just don't want to acknowledge it. We're too busy doing other things to be absorbed in our own life to recognize that we are involved in a battle against a devil that is as sly can be. Slimy, sly devil is what he is. I didn't mean to give him such a compliment, but he makes me mad. The battles are personal for sure, but also supernatural, as being fought on a spiritual level that maybe we haven't really considered. And they cannot be won by our own strength. What is required is found only in the strength of the Lord. And it is the Lord our God who would fit us for the battle. It is He who gives us the armament to withstand the onslaught of this relentless enemy. He gives us His armor. His armor. The armor of God. It's His who suits us for the battle. He gives us this belt of truth. The belt or a sash served as the anchor for all the armament that the soldier would put on. It would be the thing that the belt where he would hang his sheath and sword so it was accessible to him for the battle. It is the truth that we wrap around us that holds everything together. It is the truth that sets us free. The sash itself also served, or the belt itself served, as to where the loose garments could be tucked in to give the soldier freedom to fight. And truth sets us free so to combat the enemy. And then we put on this breastplate of righteousness, the breastplate to protect the heart, the very heart and soul of the soldier for Christ. A righteousness that covers our heart. A righteousness, not of our own. It's the righteousness that adorns us in the likeness of Christ. It's Christ's righteousness upon which we rest. Our hearts are protected against the assaults of the devil because of His righteousness that we take on. Shoes for our feet, being equipped to stand as the gospel of peace, is our footing, our foundation. It is our sure footing as we stand upon the gospel. The gospel also serves as the direction of where we are to go, whether we charge or we just hold the ground against the enemy. With the gospel, our feet, our position will not be surrendered. We are sure-footed. We don't retreat. We hold our ground. The shield of faith protects the whole body from every flaming arrow that might be targeted at us. Faith is what wards off despair and anxiety. Faith is our defense against worry and fear as our circumstances seem to be oppressive and burdensome. All those fiery darts that just seem to penetrate the heart and mind are warded off by this shield of faith. Before we are fully dressed for battle, just with these pieces of spiritual armor, we have already been adorned with truth, with righteousness, with peace, with faith. What an awesome armament we have as we take on the armor of God. And wait, there's more. There's more. The helmet of salvation. Having the certainty of mind to whom we belong. The helmet protects our head. It protects our minds. It protects our thoughts. Chip Ingram, I ran across a quote that he wrote. He says, "We must recognize how the evil one is working in the world and take a firm stance against him. It means we take careful thought concerning what we put in our minds, what we listen to, what we watch, and how we use our time." That helmet is our protection against those things that would penetrate us from the outside and dissolve our thinking of who is the one who arms us. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Believers need this sword to combat the enemy's assault, just like Christ did. Remember in the garden? In the wilderness? He was tempted. Tempted by the devil. And how did he ward off the devil? With the Word. He took the Word as his weapon. And we can never put it down. Never put it down. And why do I say that? Because in that same scene, as the devil was relentless, coming after Jesus with one temptation after another, and being put to the side, dismissed, he was retreating because of the word that was in the hand of our Savior. We read this, and when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. The devil doesn't give up. That's why the sword always has to be at hand. The word. Martin Luther said, all the cunning of the devil is exercised in trying to tear us away from the word. The word serves as a weapon employed both for the offense as well as the defense. According to Barna's research in 2021, it was determined that only 1 out of 6 adults in America read the Bible most days of the week. That's alarming. Read the word. Read the word. As we claim ourselves to be Christian, how can we live the Christian life if we don't read the manual? We need the word. We need the word to refresh us, to remind us. Jan and I were going to go to Honduras, and we were going to learn some Spanish. And we took the conversational Spanish there at Stanley Community College. And we got the books, and we had enough to find out where to eat and where to go to the bathroom. But coming back home from Honduras and not using the Spanish, it was amazing how quick we forgot the little that we learned. It's the same thing with the Scriptures. You set it aside, you forget it. And on top of that, not only do we need it to refresh us, for us to have that recall, when you go back and read the passages, you discover something you never saw there before. It is one of the most exciting books that you'll ever pick up. Read it. Not only read the word, meditate on the word. I'll share this with you. It's from Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. By just remaining in the word, meditating on the word, what that can do for us, it refreshes us, it renews us, it keeps life in our veins as Christians for Christ. Memorize the word. Study the word. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. It should be there. And you should look for ways to recount it. I can remember talking to one of the residents of the Advent Christian Village. She was up in years. And weeping, she said, Ron, I can't tell you how hard it is for me to recall some of the things that I learned as a child. And I try so hard for that recall. The heart's there for the word. Stay with it. Don't give it up. Now, all the armament we might strap on will fail us if we ignore the necessity of one more thing. Prayer. I mentioned prayer earlier this morning. Prayer. We are to be praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. The discipline of prayer is the exercise that fits us for the battle. I got the feeling that the armor wouldn't fit real well if we didn't pray. I think we really need to have that prayer to make certain the armor fits. Prayers of earnest supplication for yourself as well as for others. It's a humble kneeling before the Lord that gives you the strength to be able to stand in the name of the Lord. Oh, how easy it is for the devil to disarm us when we dismiss the need for prayer. We're vulnerable. We're really vulnerable. Corrie ten Boom again says, when a Christian shuns fellowship with other Christians, The devil smiles. When he stops studying the Bible, the devil laughs. And when he stops praying, the devil shouts for joy. When I read verse 18, I immediately thought of the words of the old song, stand up for Jesus. Let me just read a stanza of that song to you. Stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor. Put on each piece with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. I hope that song just stays with you all day long. You know, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. We must remember that it's not our battle. It's the Lord's battle. We are just simply soldiers in the army fighting, yeah, for what we believe, but fighting as we believe in the one who sent us, our Lord. Julia shared with you, I told her when I asked her to share that, I said, it's a sermon in itself. And if you think Julia helped you understand the depth and the breadth and the height of that story is how it pertains to this armor that we're supposed to put on, I got two more for you. But I'll try to make them brief. The first one is simply this. It's in Exodus. When Moses is standing there at the shore of the Red Sea with the Israelites, and they're looking over their shoulder, and here comes the Egyptians to annihilate them. And fear, you can bet, fear is at its tumult height. And Moses says to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see now, you will never see again. And this is it. The Lord will fight for you. And you only have to be silent. Wait on the Lord and he'll fight the battles for you. And what Julia shared with us in 1 Samuel 14, chapter 17, verses 45 through 47, boils down to one thing. This shepherd boy, facing a giant in front of God's army who isn't doing a blooming thing, he says, for the battle is the Lord's. And one more. Jehoshaphat, son of Asa, king of Judah, facing a huge army, a number of enemies, the Philistines, and the Amorites and the Moabites, coming after him. And he's overwhelmed. He's fearful. The word is, a great multitude is coming after you. And there is this one, his name is Jehazahel. He is a Levite that Jehoshaphat appointed before this battle even began. And Jehazahel says, listen, all Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat, got the king's attention too. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed at the great horde. For the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. That is so encouraging. Okay, finally. I just want to conclude with a few words of instruction. And it all comes from Scripture. James 4, 7 and 8. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Psalm 105:4, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. And finally, I'm going to read it, and then I want you to say it with me as we conclude this message, this time together, with this great promise. It's Psalm 73:26. It reads, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Can you say that with me? Let's say it together. You can repeat after me, maybe the easiest way to do it. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Let's pray. The battle belongs to the Lord. Father, no matter what in the world we are dealing with right now, as difficult and as dark as it may seem, as hard and as challenging as it may appear, in your strength, in your might, give us victory over the enemy. Give us victory over discouragement, over anxiety, over hopelessness, over fear. As you would adorn us with your armor to withstand any assault that comes from the enemy, and allowing us in that one and final and glorious day to claim victory in the name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.